That was a team in Bangkok, Thailand, that was participating in the Global Game Jam 2012. And what they were doing was creating a non-digital game. And then we encouraged everyone to kind of make a video to show how their game was played. And theirs came out so cute. I love the way they were all kind of dressed the same, and they all kind of spoke in unison. And that was like half the fun of seeing the game. And they made, in 48 hours, they made this entire game board, which was this multi-tiered cake there. And it was just, I thought, just cute. Really, really cute. Okay, so going back to the slides here. Okay, so talking about the Global Game Jam, we're not making games here at DragonCon. This is about an event. The next one's going to take place in January 2013. My name's Ilanka Dunnan. I'm on the board of directors for the Global Game Jam. How many people here have participated in a game jam ever? Anybody? Okay. Which city were you in? Okay. Right. So a game jam is 48 hours making games. And we have a global version that takes place once a year in January. At the January 2012 event, we had teams in 47 different countries. And in one weekend, we made over 2,200 games and made the Guinness Book of World Records for most games made in a 48-hour period. And this is something that it's a phenomenon that's growing really fast. And so I was going to talk about it here, kind of give you an overview of what the game jam is, and also give you advice if any of you ever want to participate in a game jam. I highly recommend it. If you have skills as a programmer, artist, sound person, project manager, designer, any of those things, that's great. But even if you don't have those skills, there's something for everyone to do at a game jam. We've had game jams where kids showed up. We had an 8-year-old, and there were things for him to do at the game jam. So it's just a wonderful kind of community-building event. It's only been going for a few years now. It launched in 2008. The first jam was in 2009. It was inspired by some events that were coming out of Scandinavia, where they were getting together to make games in a short period, or sometimes having competitions. Like if they were on a flight, they would say, okay, the flight has taken off. Here's our laptops. Can we have a game finished by the time the plane lands? And so this kind of really rapid process was a lot of fun and also very educational, because many people kind of got bogged down in the sense of, oh, to make a game, you're making World of Warcraft, or you're making, you know, one of these large Command and Conquer, and it's going to take years, and you're going to need millions of dollars to make a game. But no, you can make a game for free in 48 hours. You just got to get people together and have the right structure for it to happen. And the game jam is what we call platform agnostic. You can make any kind of game that you want. It can be an Xbox game. It could be a Flash game. I made a game that runs on GPSs using something called Warigo. You can make board games, card games, graph paper. It doesn't even necessarily have to be a game that's played with things. There was a game in Madrid, Spain, where they had one of those big Jumbotron screens, and they hacked into it to make a game where they would. There was a camera from the Jumbotron pointing down at the plaza, and they hacked into it so that it could sense light. And so if someone had their cell phone, it would sense the light, and then they had that projecting on the Jumbotron, and then they had little aliens running around the Jumbotron. And if you stood where one of the aliens was, so there's the plaza and the Jumbotron, if you stood there and you waved your cell phone, then that would kill the alien that was at that spot in the plaza on the Jumbotron. And it was such an intuitive thing that as the game developers were running around on the weekend and they're all waving their cell phones, and passersby would come by the plaza and they'd look at the game developers and the Jumbotron, and then they'd reach into their pocket and pull out their phone, and then they were running around and they were playing the game as well. And again, this is something happened very fast. These kinds of rapid prototypes often lead to great games. Many of you may have played a game called Portal 2. It didn't start at a game jam, but it did start from a very, very small prototype. The game World of Goo started from a very, very small prototype as well. So we started, you know, from the growth has gone from 53 sites registered in 1 year to 200 to 249, 23 countries, then 44, 47. We started, the first game jam had 1,600 participants. This most recent one, we had over 10,000 participants around the world. And games, we went from 370 games made in a weekend to over 2,200 games made in a weekend. As I said, we made the Guinness Book of World Records. And sites are registering now for the next jam, which will be in January 2013. These are just some charts and numbers. We're always looking for people that want to sponsor international events, and so we have a whole sponsorship kit set up for that. So the way the structure generally is that we tell people to show up on a Friday evening, and it'll be usually around 5 or 6 p.m., and there'll be a meet and greet, and often we'll give people name tags, and we'll have them put a colored dot on their name tag saying, are you a programmer, are you an artist, are you a designer, audio, what kinds of things do you do? And then we'll announce the theme. And the theme is going to be some sort of closely held secret. No one knows what the theme is before they come to the jam. And that's a way to prevent people from making a game before the jam and then coming to the jam and saying, ah, here's my game. But even then, the jam is not meant as a competition. It's meant as a cooperative event. It's an educational kind of event. So we announce the theme, and then everyone kind of breaks up into small brainstorming groups. So there might be anywhere from 25 to 200 people showing up at a particular jam site. And we'll break them up into groups, when I've seen it, into groups of 10 to 20 people and say, okay, here's the theme. Brainstorm, come up with some ideas. And generally, each idea will end up having sort of an evangelist for that particular idea. Then everybody, all the groups come back together, and the evangelist will stand in a line and say, here's my pitch. And they have 30 seconds, just pitch. This is the game I want to make. And then those evangelists will go like stand around the outside of the room, and everyone else will kind of clump and say, okay, I want to work on your game. I want to work on your game. It's fast, fast, fast. Everything's going on. We're not interviewing. We're not showing resumes. We're not checking to see what someone's skills are. It's really kind of going on the honor system. A coder comes in and says, I can code in Flash ActionScript. We say, okay, are you good enough to be a primary coder? And they go, yeah, I am. You know, and then you just kind of hit the ground running with it. Same with artists. Are you a 2D artist or a 3D artist? Then once everyone kind of clumps, then we go into the system where it's called we call it human trading cards. So maybe one clump of people has six coders, but they didn't actually get an artist on their team. And another clump might have six artists, but no coder. So we'll go and say, okay, well, we'll give you one of our artists if you give, you know, us one of your coders, and then we kind of balance things out so that every team kind of has a mixture of the different skill sets. And then work starts, and usually there's pizza involved, and everyone just kind of hits the ground running. The coders will be creating a framework for the game. The artists will be sketching things. Designers will be brainstorming, okay, we have this idea. What can we do? And that's one of the most important things about a jam, is kind of limiting the scope of what you think you can do in 48 hours. You're not going to make a 100-level game with full 3D graphics that's, you've got different, all these different combat mechanics, and everything is very smoothly done with production values. That's not going to happen in 48 hours. But you are going to get some basic prototypes, and some people do take those prototypes and then go on and do more with them. So Saturday, the game jam is 48 hours. Some people choose to just go for it, full 48 hours. They'll sleep there. They'll code until they literally, you know, the forehead hits the keyboard. Other people will go home and they'll sleep, take a shower, you know, have breakfast the next morning and come in. It's really whatever anyone is comfortable with. Some people like working all night. They're productive that way. Other people, no, they want to work in set amounts. But we still have that 48-hour structure. Then Sunday, by Sunday afternoon, the game's got to be done. You can't say, oh, wow, I could do more if I had 2 days. No, Sunday, you're done. And so we see what people have done. And we encourage people to make a video clip, which could be as simple, and again, you don't need the full video camera. It could be as simple as taking your iPhone and going around and looking over someone's shoulder and just videoing whatever they're doing on the screen. And that's a quick way of demoing the game. Okay, and then we all go home and we sleep. So skills that are needed, coders, designers, artists, or just come by and just brainstorm. We do this with high school groups sometimes. We'll go to them and say, okay, we're going to give you a flavor of what it's like to be in a game jam, and we'll just say, okay, here's an idea. And if anybody wants here, I could potentially show you what the brainstorming process was like. Kind of depends like how much time we have available, what your interest is. There's going to be other things. If you don't have a specific skill set, you could maybe find sound effects. There's websites online called like freesound.org, and you can go and someone may say, okay, we need an explosion. Okay, can you go online and can you search around for some different kind of explosion sound effects? You come up and they say, no, we need, that's a 3-second explosion. We need a 1-second explosion. So that's something you could do. Also, just blogging can be really helpful. Being the person that goes around and takes pictures of what all the groups are doing and kind of writes about the process. Or testing. Once a game, generally around Saturday afternoon, all these different teams, they have a basic game and they need someone who's not involved with the process to kind of test it. Is the game playable? What is if someone who's not involved with the design process, are they playing it the way that the developers were expecting that this game was going to be played? Or are they going, hey, where's the mouse? And the developers go, oh, you know, we didn't put in mouse support. Or just kind of basic stuff like that. So the skills that are gained at a game jam are really phenomenal. For one, you get experience in this kind of very rapid, iterative prototyping environment. Also, you get exposed to different tool sets. When you have 100, 200 people around you all working very rapidly, you might be walking around, you go, oh, what's that set of tools that you're using? So it's sort of like a hackathon in that way. Everybody's going at it. You learn about how to work as a team in a very fast-paced environment, and how to make decisions very, very quickly. You don't have 2 days to figure out how is the light going to be reflecting off of the grass texture in the back of the screen. It just make a decision and just move forward. Also, once you've finished a game, you've got something that goes on your resume, and that's something permanent. You know, for the rest of your life, you've got something you can put on your resume. I worked on a game. So if you ever want to get into the game industry, one of the best ways they say to get in the game industry is make games. And there's many larger game companies that are looking to game jams to hire their talent. I'm an executive at Simutronics in St. Louis, Missouri, and we've hired, I would say, a dozen people just by seeing what they could do at a game jam. It's a very kind of rapid, intense interview process in a way. So if you want to get involved and you don't necessarily have design or programming skills now, but you'd like to get some sort of skills, there's a URL called yoyogames.com, and they have an application called Game Maker. They have wonderful tutorials. It's very easy to learn. If you sit down and go through the tutorials, you can have a really basic game up in about an hour. It's going to be simple. It's going to be like fruit bouncing around a room. And you know you're shooting apples and you're blowing up the bananas. It's really basic, but many of the games that are coming out of the game jams are made with tools like Game Maker, or if you have a Mac, there's tools called Game Salad. If you want to get more into it, there's C#, XNA. A lot of if you want to do 3D, Unity is a very popular platform right now. I love Flash and ActionScript because when you write a game, you can show it to people right away. All you have to do is give them a URL and they can access it, where some of these others, they'll say, oh, here you need an Xbox controller and you need an account on Xbox Live and you need these other things. Warigo is a tool that I just started playing with, and this is a framework that was made to create games that will run on GPSs, certain kinds of Garmin games, and I may be able to show this to you later. Where you can set up a location-based thing. So I wrote a Warigo, it's called a cartridge, at the St. Louis Game Jam, the mid-year jam, where we had latitude and longitude coordinates plugged into it. So you'd go around with your iPhone emulator, and it would say, okay, you're in a hospital that's been overrun by zombies. Oh no, there's a zombie over there 200 feet to the west. You know, here's your dart gun. And so you'd have to walk 200 feet over to the west and it'd say, oh, there's a zombie here. And then you press the button and shoot the zombie. So you're going around this street or sometimes around a park interacting in this kind of augmented reality game. And we did this in 48 hours. And it was great because I could code. I suck at art. Don't ever ask me to draw anything. But we had artists there and we had sound people there. And I could be coding while someone else was deciding which part of the park different things are going to be happening in. So everybody was working as a team. If you want to host a site for the Global Game Jam, it's very simple. Yeah. Choose a place that it's going to happen. 48-hour access is preferred, but is not required. And then you go to the globalgamejam.org site and say, I want to run a site. And this is what's going to happen. It's going to be 24/48. Food will be available. It won't be available. It'll be free to participants, or I need to charge $10 to cover expenses. And you go from there. We will give you access, the directors will give you access to a mailing list, which currently is on basecamphq.org, and we'll give you some of the information like the secret theme, which you're supposed to keep secret until the jam starts, and then you announce it to everybody, and then they go off and they brainstorm it. So themes, in 2009, the theme, we got everybody together and said, okay, make a game based on this sentence. As long as we have each other, we will never run out of problems. And then people had to go and brainstorm, you know, what kind of a game can we make based on that? Then 2010, we said, okay, now make a game based on deception. And then people would brainstorm what kind of game, what did deception mean to them? 2011, the theme was extinction. 2012, we didn't give them a word, we gave them a picture. which is down here, the snake eating its tail, Ouroboros, and said, okay, they'll make a game based on that. And the games were all over the place. They might involve snakes. They might involve rebirth. I think with the cake, it was like a spiral theme going around. And 2013, the secret. We won't be announcing it until late January 2013. January 25th to 27th, kind of reserve the weekend if you have any interest in participating. If you want to register a site, that is open now. And then to be able to sign up and link yourself to a site saying, I'm going to be at that site for the Global Game Jam 2013, that's probably going to be starting in about a month or so. So if we have, I'm going to try and show you one of the videos, like of the Madrid one. Let's see if this goes. This was the theme of deception, yeah. No, this was the theme of extinction. So, that's an example of just one game of the thousands that have been created at the game jams. And, let's see. This was one, a board game that was created at a St. Louis game jam. And they did the video for it again with just an iPhone. For this jam, we gave people keywords: adventure, candle, scary, inscrutable, and guts, and told them they had to put those words together to make a game.
That's no glory, and Katie's going to talk about it.
So you have all your pieces at home of the players that are starting. Everybody starts at home. Everybody is given 10 candle cards. Candle is one of our words. You can move on any path to start. Whichever way you go is the first card that you're going to pull. First person who goes is the person the closest up to coming birthday. Birthday was yesterday, you're last.
So say I want to go to the beach. So I'm going to pull my beach card and I'm going to read it. Make my best dolphin impression for 30 seconds.
I like to flip around and I like like to swim with people.
Yeah, unless it's a good word. It's so choppy.
I did it. I get to move. 1, 2, 3. I keep my card. You need to collect a card from all 4 lands. Once you've gotten a card from each land and you're still moving through, you still have to do the dares, but you can put your extra cards back in the pile. So you need to at least keep one from each land. Once you collect all 4 cards, you need to go back home, but you still need to be completing the dares. If you fail to complete the dares, you lose a wick, whatever number this says. So if you are out of cards, you are dead, and you're no longer playing. Cannot.
Okay. So, let me try to load that and then show it later, maybe during Hacking 201. So, summary is the Global Game Jam's been running for about 4 years. It's growing really fast. It's a great way to build a game developer community in your area. All skill levels are really very welcome. It's something that's can change your life. You can make contacts. And also, if you're going to an event and you don't know anyone there, and then you get talking like, oh, there was a game jam in your city. What games did you make in your jam? Then you instantly have something that you can talk about. And so it gives this kind of commonality. I've been talking really fast. Does anybody have questions? Myself?
Yeah.
I'm on the board of directors for the Global Game Jam. We run the whole kahuna.
Okay. You already stated the software you use for that. And you also have the you have non-software recommendations if you're doing a board game. And mm-hmm. online as far as the websites for that?
To create a board game?
Yeah.
I don't have any specific recommendations. You can kind of go to Google and look up something about game design or how to create a game. And, I mean, just use your imagination. What we really want to encourage is innovation, experimentation, creativity. We love it when people create something new that no one has thought of how to do before. Okay. Any other questions? Skillset, did you have a picture?
You mentioned that some people stick around the jam site for 48 hours straight and just keep working.
Yeah.
How does that work for things like, beds, people need to take showers? Facilities need to be available for
It varies from site to site. Some places, that if they have enough room, they'll have a room where people work and another room where people sleep. And people will just... I've been stunned by how some people can just sleep anywhere. They'll be coding and then they'll just lie down on the floor and then they're just out for like 2 hours and they get up and then they go back to coding. Some people, like, you know, if you have a car, some people might sleep in their car. Some people get a hotel near the jam site and sleep there. And sometimes people just sleep under the tables. It's really kind of what the site is open to allowing. But generally, we recommend that there's sort of a separate area where people can sleep, so the sleepers don't bother the people that are working on the games, and the people who are working on the games aren't bothering the sleepers. In terms of hygiene and stuff, we encourage bathing. Bathing is good. sometimes we have people who will bring extra soap and shampoo and toothbrushes and deodorant and say, here, they'll hand it out to the people there. At Simutronics, we have a shower on site, which we had some extra towels, so if anybody wanted to take a shower there, they could. For myself personally, I like sleep, so I would generally go home at like 10 or 11, get a good night's sleep, you know, take a shower, eat a good breakfast, and come in the morning. So it's all over the place. Yeah. Any other questions? Right. How many people are thinking you might want to participate in a jam? Coming. Good. How many people here identify as coders, programmers? Okay. How many? Okay. And how many identify as artists? Okay. 2D or 3D art?
2D.
Okay. How many people here identify as audio people? Okay. Audio is really popular at game jams. Often in St. Louis, what we see is there'll be one or two audio people, and they're doing music for everybody. And that's great because you get your name in the credits for every single game where your music shows up, and it looks really, really good on a resume. How many people here identify as designers? Okay. So if you want to design a game, if you want to design a level, or if you want to design a character, we have people that come in and do voice talent for games. Have I missed any skill sets? Project management is always good. Producers, a game needs some sort of someone who's sort of in charge and someone who's going to make the decisions. That has to happen early in the design process. Otherwise, you'll get these groups that just get stalemated and they go back and forth and back and forth and the game doesn't happen. And there's disagreement on how big a team should be. Some people say that the ideal team size is going to be 3 to 5 people. I've also routinely seen games that were made with 10 or 20 people, and if they figure out a way of working together, usually because there's someone there who has skill in project management and pulling all the skills together, that can work really well too, and you can get higher production values that way too. If you compartmentalize, you're going to be doing the splash screens, you're going to be designing the characters, you're going to be designing the way the shots look as they're flying across the screen.
So, given that, how many people are... How do you divide people into groups? Is there a set number, like that you just say, okay, this location we're all going to do 3 to 5 people?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just from the evangelicals' point of view? I guess, who's birthing the idea? It's just they get to pick, or how does it work?
I'm just going to repeat the question for the recording. The question was, how is it decided how big the groups are going to be at a particular site? And it's really freeform. It's up to each group. The site organizer might go around and see how people have clumped and say, hey, you got 10 people in your group. Why don't you break up into 2 groups? And then that group would have the option of saying, okay, yeah, we could do 2 games, or, nah, we're going to stick with 10 people and just keep going. I've never heard of somebody being kicked out of a jam because they had too few people or too many people in a group. I've also seen games that were made by just one person. He said, I work well alone, and he went at it, and he did all the art, and he did all the coding, and he did all the sound, and it came out really well. Yeah? Did you have another question? Any other questions? Of the coders here, what languages do you work in?
C++,
okay.
Python.
Mm-hmm. C. Okay. And do you feel like you could be primary coders on a game in C++ in that kind of an environment?
Yeah.
Making a structure, yeah. You might want to think about making a framework of a game. And XNA is really good for this with C#. It has all kind of the basic elements there. And that way, when you get to the part of actually implementing the game, you're just plugging things into the framework rather than trying to build the framework from scratch right at the very beginning. I love ActionScript. I think that works really well. And again, GameMaker and GameSalad are good tools to have. You might look into learning GameMaker as well, because you might have an idea for a game and thinking, I really want to be the designer for this game, but here's someone else who's going to be working with GameMaker. And so just understanding the tool set might be useful there too. Okay. So... Were there any other questions at the moment? So is anyone interested in kind of understanding more about the brainstorming process? We could kind of go through an example of brainstorming. Okay. All right. So let's go into, say, groups of 5 people each. And I'm going to announce a theme. And then you're going to have 5 minutes to come up with some ideas. Just try and get your group to come up with 2 or 3 different ideas. And then we're going to get together and we're going to kind of hear these ideas. Focus on coming up with ideas for games that can be made in 48 hours. Okay? So, do you guys want to come up with groups yourselves, or I can kind of assign people? Oops. Okay. Everybody on that side of the room, you're in one group. Everybody in the first 3 rows here, you're in another group. And then everybody behind that, you're in another group. Okay? And for each group, I want a facilitator. Who's going to be the facilitator for each group? Who volunteers? What? Okay. Preferably someone who has maybe paper and pencil or something.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you're the facilitator. Who's the facilitator for the group in the back? Decide fast. right. Okay, you're here? Okay. So you guys have a facilitator? You know what you're doing? Okay, good. It's like, I've done this. Who wants to be lead designer? And someone goes, okay, boom, you're lead designer, and you go for it. Okay. The theme, which I just came up with in my hotel room, is going, I'm going to pick two words more or less at random. Dragon bubbles. Go for it. You have 5 minutes.
Right. No, I'm talking about the bird.
Okay, that's time. All right.
It goes fast. Okay, so for each group, how many different game ideas? Come on, 1, 2, 3.
I just want.
Just one pen. One idea? Okay. All right, so one person, be an evangelist for this, and give us like a 1 minute or 30-second pitch on what the game is.
All right, so our game would have basically like a corridor. It's kind of a backdrop of a town scene or something like that, maybe a forest. But you have a dragon character at the bottom, and you have different colored rows, like columns of flame that are coming down. And the flame is colored differently, green, yellow, blue, red. And as you touch on an iPad or an iPhone, or use your mouse, because it would be cross-platform, either a flash game or an iPhone, the bulbs shoot up. If it's corresponding color, you can distinguish them. It's a real quick game, it's about 2 minutes or so, and it just starts slowly coming at you, and then it just speeds up. You do it by score, so as fast as you can possibly update them and stay alive.
Awesome. Did you come up with
a
title for this, or? Okay. All right. Keep it in the back. What did you come up with?
Great. We came up with a game where it's a TV platform.
Okay.
And it's a dragon moving on a bubble. And the goal of the game is to put more smaller bubbles, so it'll increase the size of the bubble. And as the size of the bubble increases, you're able to move and cover more of a larger obstacle. And the end goal of each level would be to get the bubble large enough.
You want to do one more round, brainstorming? Okay, one more round and then we'll call it. All right, I'm going to give you a different theme this time. Same groups, super groups, anybody? Okay, same groups. All right, this time the theme is going to be Twice Upon a Time. Go for it.
Five seconds.
player's head, and then he jumps into that second thing, you know, you know.
Twice in there several times. Okay, good.
Okay, we have a puzzle platformer where you alternately control two characters. Ooh. The sad brother will self-efface himself, stepping into thorns and the like, so that when you switch to the happy brother, he can step across the ledge. The happy brother will then pull his brother out, alternating back and forth to get through the level, and since you asked last time, the name is the Brother's Dream.
And you can tell how quickly you come up with this idea, and you probably already see screens in your head of what the game is looking like. And imagine if you had 48 hours, if you had artists, and you could just kind of hit the ground running and go from that. So just kind of geographically, how many people here are from Atlanta or the Georgia area? Okay, so Georgia has a game jam, so something you can look, if it's not in your area, you can all start a new site. Where are the rest of you from?
That's all of them.
Alabama. We've never had a game jam in Alabama, but you could start a site. If you build it, people will come. Usually it's good to work with the university. Universities usually love sponsoring these things. But 48 hours, sometimes universities get a little dicey about, you know, sponsoring the full 48 hours. So just say, okay, it doesn't have to be 48 hours. We'll just have it like 8 a.m. till 10 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday, or you know, whatever hours the university has. And if you have any questions, contact me. I'm happy to help work you through it and mentor you as you go through. What other areas?
North Carolina.
North Carolina? Which city are you from? Greensboro. Okay. I don't know if we had a jam in Greensboro, but again, you can always start at your own site. What other areas?
In Alabama?
Are you guys near each other?
No.
Okay. Like how many hours apart?
Yeah. About 3.5, 4, maybe 5.
Is things okay with Isaac and all that? Okay. Yeah, I was going to come through Alabama on my way here. And went through Kentucky. You don't keep spot like halfway, you know, between the two of them. Instead of the gym there. Okay. Any other areas?
We're from Long Island.
Any other areas? Okay, everyone's here from the United States, so it makes it a little bit easier. Okay. All right. Any other questions on jams in general or anything like that? Okay, great. Well, I hope you have a great time. I do hope you participate in the next Global Game Jam. Also, you don't have to wait for every year. If you want to have just a jam in your city in between the globals, that's fine too. A lot of places do that. And I look forward to seeing what games you come up with.
All right.